Hello English Podcast, a podcast for EFL learners and teachers. Hello everyone, this is one more episode of the Follow English podcast. I'm Marcos Gazan and I'm speaking from Porto Alegre in the south of Brazil. Today is June the 3rd, Tuesday. This is episode 18. First of all, I would like to remind you that you can visit the webpage for this podcast, which is at pod.followenglish.com.br. There you can find a form where you can add your email address if you want to subscribe to this podcast. Then you will get a notification every time there is a new episode. You can also subscribe to us via iTunes or even Stitcher. So please check it out, and you can also leave your comment or suggestion over there. Today I want to talk about an issue that my students often ask me, because lots of people want to start studying a language and they don't know, they're not sure if they need to use a textbook or not. So I want to discuss today whether students should adopt, or students and teachers or groups of students should adopt a textbook or not. Obviously, there are many advantages when you adopt a textbook. One of them is that it can give you that sense of chronological order to the contents that you are studying. And this might be important for someone who needs to, who intends at least to review the contents. So that might make your life easier if you intend to review the contents and to keep the contents in an organized way. This is one of the main advantages, I would say. Not to mention that the publishers or the publishing companies, they normally have done a lot of research before publishing a book. So they pretty much know how things should be organized in a book. And most of the books, at least from the top publishing companies nowadays, they are very good. They are very organized, very complete. Some books even have, they have not only grammar and exercises, but they have texts. They have pronunciation exercises. They have a wide range of exercises and suggested topics for you to talk about, which sometimes might make your life easier, both if you are a teacher, because then in terms of planning, your time might be reduced drastically, I would say. So you just need to follow the chronological order of the book. Of course, I always one of the things I do, even when I use textbooks, I try to avoid doing religiously exercises one by one, because I think you always have to take into account your students' profiles and sometimes skip some activities, and sometimes take one activity and extend it, add some more stuff to it, and find extra materials related that could be used as a follow-up to those activities which you judge that are appropriate for your own learners. That is, if you know their profiles, of course. The second thing I would like to mention about using or adopting a textbook is that the textbook also makes it easier for you to ask your students to do homework, So for teachers, it makes their life a lot easier
They normally, textbooks, they also come with a workbook, and the workbook contains a lot of self-study exercises that can be used as homework. And this certainly makes your life easier if you're a teacher, if you are an EFL teacher. For students, basically, it helps because it gives them the opportunity to see a more chronological order for things and to go back and review and also look further ahead and see what's coming next. And also the homework thing, yes, you know, it's easier to have a workbook and then maybe do some exercises. And some of the workbooks even have the answer key, so they can also check the answers by themselves. So if used wisely, textbooks can be very helpful in language learning. Now the disadvantages of using textbooks. The first one is that following a chronological order in the contents doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to learn or internalize those contents in that order as you have them in the book. So this is one thing. Another thing about the textbook is that sometimes a textbook is limited, very limited in relation to the contents. And if you have to keep supplying the contents of the textbook with extra material, with external stuff, it might be a bit tiring, you know, sometimes. Every time you look at the book and you see, wow, the contents are very superficial, so I'll need to find something else about this to go deeper into this matter. So it depends on how, deep you want to go into the discussions with your students. So sometimes, you know, normally books or textbooks are very light-hearted and they don't go that deep into the contents, and they also avoid including controversial discussions. So this is, in my opinion, it's a negative point. And another thing about the content of textbooks is that they are so repetitive. You take a business English book, for instance, and they always, unit one always starts with introductions. So when you meet people for the first time, hello, my name is la la la, it's nice to meet you. So that's very repetitive. You can check different textbooks and you will see that the contents and even the chronological order of textbooks are very repetitive, and this, in my opinion, is a big drawback. So it all depends, in my opinion, again, now just to restate, adopting a textbook depends very much on the profile of your students, of the learners, because if they want to take a more if they are people who need to have something more concrete in their hands, like that they can go back and review, and they want to do more exercises, they're more grammar driven. Maybe a textbook will be a good idea. And then if you need to supply the contents with extra materials, then it's up to you as a teacher to do that. But if your students don't have this grammar-driven approach and are more interested in building fluency in a different way, by using the language, by speaking and trying to, then maybe nowadays, with all the technology that we have out there, one easy way to do that is not to adopt any book and to use videos and MP3 files that you can find online. There are loads of podcasts. There are podcasts. There are the YouTube videos that you can use. You can think about a topic and then find videos on that topic. Of course, The negative point of this, this kind of approach where you don't actually have a textbook and you're not following a chronological order of contents, first, it might give the students the impression that you're not planning your classes, that your classes are very, oh, he just played a video or played an MP3 file and we talked about it. So you see, maybe the focus of the classes might be a bit fuzzy or cloudy unless you state clearly to the students, hey, today at the beginning of the class, today we're going to watch a video, and then after that video, after watching the video, we're going to talk about that. I have some questions, and then we're going to produce some sentences, and maybe we will study some I don't know, some grammar, some structure, something related related to the video that you can have some, you can check some examples in the video or something like that. So personally, I have lots of students who don't use a textbook, and in the end of the day, you know, it's pretty much the same. Once you establish good rapport with your students, and you're free to tell them, to talk to them about their performance, and to guide them more directly, you know, more talk to them. Almost like a personal, how can I put this? Like a coach, yes, instead of a teacher so more like a coach. Because then they're also, if you build this relationship with them, they will also feel free to come to you and say, hey, yesterday I was watching this video on YouTube and I saw that the guy said something like blah, blah, blah. How does that structure work? And then you can, you see, but this is this involves a lot of improvisation, because sometimes you will get asked questions about contents that you might not be prepared to answer, and you will have to give them an answer. You will have to be able to go online and maybe do some, search for some stuff in order to give your students or learners examples of how to use those structures. So this could be considered by some teachers a drawback, because if you're not confident enough to deal or to, yeah, you know, to offer a class, a kind of class which is very open and anything could happen, any question could come up, then maybe it's better to stand behind a textbook and supply the students with materials here and there, extra materials, I mean, and then you're playing safe, you know. Otherwise, if you feel like exploring things together with your students, and this is the high points, I think, one of the highlights of not having a textbook is that you're free to do anything. So I have, for example, I have lots of financial English students, and we often watch videos from Financial Times video page, and sometimes I haven't even seen the videos before. So, okay, let's watch this video, let's discuss this issue, and you know, sometimes new expressions come up and I have to tell them, hey, try to help me here, let's try to decode the what he's saying through the pronunciation, and then we have to look up some idiomatic expression that maybe even me or as a teacher, maybe I haven't come across that idiomatic expression at all before the class. So in this sense, this kind of class without a textbook might be a bit dangerous. So you might feel like treading on eggshells. But on the other hand, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, the feeling that you will get when you manage to do to work on a video like I gave you in this example, and in a successful way with your students,
wow, that feeling is just amazing. So I think there are lots of advantages when you don't want to use a textbook, but there certainly are disadvantages as well. As I told you, you might be or feel at least in danger sometimes, as depending on how you position yourself as a teacher, because you might come across some expression that you have never seen before, and you, then in this case, obviously, you will have to tell your students, "I'm sorry, I don't know this expression. Let's try to find out what it means." You know, this kind of thing. So, all in all, I think there are advantages and disadvantages on both sides. And I hope you enjoyed the discussion. I think this is it. I'm not going to go any further here. Maybe there are more things to say, but this is enough. I've done more than 15 minutes already. So I hope you enjoyed the discussion. I would love to hear your comments if you have any, or even suggestions for future podcasts. Thank you very much for listening. Remember that you can check the webpage for this podcast at pod.followenglish.com.br. You will certainly find ways to subscribe to it, either on iTunes or Stitcher, or even if you go to the site. You can also email me at info@followenglish.com.br. Thank you very much for listening once again, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye!